T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, this one handpicked by the man himself. Gave him 31 options, and he picked this one. The end of the world. Mr. Friedman, are you there? Why so morbid?
I just love this song, and it seems perfect for the times, right?
Yeah, it was perfect for the times when it came out too, Elliot, but we're still here.
That's right. Well, I like the fact that you look at it optimistically. I can appreciate that.
You know, so in 30 years, we'll be able to say, you know what, the song still fits, and we're still here, hopefully.
And we're still here, absolutely.
How many thoughts will you have in 30 years, you think? 32 still? I know you got 31.
No, it'll be 32 when Seattle gets into the league. I told the commissioner to stop expanding.
Yeah, your last thought there with the Vegas Winnebago, were you running thin?
No, you know what? I always wanted to put that one in. I meant to put the 31. The 31st is always supposed to be a little bit different, like a little bit something light to end up the piece, and I meant to put that there. But it must have felt that way because you're the second guy who said that to me. You're a bit thin this week. You threw the Winnebago in at the end.
Hey, it's great. You're right. You know, like you're showing everybody the love for Vegas out there. If you haven't seen Riv and Gio, Brian Gionta and Craig Rivet here too, Elliot. Just so you know, Elliot Friedman joining us here on the line. Sabres win last night. Did you catch the game?
I worked it. Thanks for watching.
No, I was in the U.S. I was watching RJ. When I'm in Canada, Elliot, I tune in. But I didn't know if you were on last night or not because I wasn't on that side of the border, my friend. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's just a little bit of ball busting, Andrew. Like I watched that game. I worked that game last night. I got to tell you, that was, if you aren't entertained by that, just quit watching sports. That was a great game. And, you know, it really had a big feel to it. You know, Josh Allen being at the game last night. Eichel just looked dominant. Like, right from the moment the puck dropped, that game, like you guys know, you all played. There's some games, you get there on a Wednesday night, you're like, ugh, I don't know about this. But that one last night, you could tell everybody was jacked to play in it, to be in it. The building was good. Like, that was a fun game to watch. That was high-quality entertainment.
I thought that was two very evenly matched teams.
I would agree with that. I think that both coaches are going to be wondering about some of the discipline and some of the defense. But, you know, as you guys know, the worse defense there is, the more entertaining it is for the fans. And I agree with you. I think Buffalo, if Buffalo plays like that, them and Montreal, they'll be battling all year for playoff spots.
Well, you know what? For the first time, Elliot, I remember going to a Montreal game last year with both my sons. I'm sitting up in the stands. I got a nice ball cap on. By the end of the third period, my ball cap was like literally pulled down over my chin. Because Montreal was just so fast. They were so skilled. They kind of really took it to us. But I'll tell you right now, from what I see in Buffalo, I see a different hockey team, a very confident team under Ralph Kruger. And, you know, going to be interesting to see how this team can build off that.
Well, I think that there's no question they're confident. Like, you guys obviously couldn't see it, but we had Ralph Kruger on just before the game last night, about an hour and a half before puck drop. Jeff Merrick, who's our Wednesday night host, he taped an interview with Ralph Kruger for our pregame show, and we led the pregame show with it. And I asked Jeff if it was okay with him, could he ask Kruger how they handled Eichel in the last 24 to 36 hours? Because obviously, as you guys know, he made the mistake at the end of the overtime in Columbus. And okay, so Kruger and Eichel are talking about this good relationship they have. What did he do? And the first thing that Kruger said was, that was as much my fault as it was Eichel's, because I put him out there for the first shift of overtime, and I didn't give him enough chance to be ready and not tired for the next one. So he said, that was on me as much as it was on him. And I was like, that answer is going to go over huge with Eichel, because now he knows that they're in this together. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, as you guys know, there's been a lot of negativity in Buffalo the last couple of years. I think that if you can sell Eichel on that, he's going to be better. And I can't imagine that it's not a coincidence that he comes back with a dynamite game, because he knows that his coach is not going to bury him for what happened in the last game.
Might be good it happened that early in the season.
For sure. Because he understands how the relationship is going to work. By the way, Craig and Brian, when Buffalo plays Montreal, who do you guys cheer for?
Whoever wins. I'm always a winner when they play.
That's right.
That's a pretty gutless answer, wouldn't you say, Elliot?
I got to say, I'm impressed he didn't come right out and say Buffalo, because you're on the radio there. Like, I have to say, there is a little bit of guts in that answer.
Listen, I love my time in Montreal. All the ups and downs, and believe me, there was a lot of them. But I'll tell you, it's a great organization. It's a great city to live in, and I grew up there. They drafted me, so I would never pick one over the other.
All right, well, we'll give him that. I guess we'll lay off then, eh, Elliot?
Wait, Brian, where are you in that?
Oh, he didn't forget about just, you. Brian Gianta here too, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I feel the same way. Honestly, like, I loved Montreal. I loved being there. I loved being a part of it. I think Jeff Molson's doing a great job with that organization. And it's hard. It's hard when those teams come and play together. I went out to dinner the night before with a couple of the guys, Pricey and Galley, and it's one of those things. You still have those connections, so you still feel for the guys that are on both teams, and so you're not rooting for one or the other. You're just enjoying the game, enjoying the hockey.
You know, I gotta say, I'm listening to this, and I'm like, okay, Gallagher's making about $5 million a year. Price is at $9 million a year. You've got about $30 million in the bank. Who paid?
I paid. The boys on my 14U team they thought for sure Price had the bill. But they're in Buffalo. I took care of it for him. I brought him out to dinner. It was on me.
Well, he has to maintain those relationships. He's in the media now. He's got to butter
my
him
friends.
Up. Hey,
yeah.
How can he get dirt if you got the guys buying him a filet mignon?
Yeah.
Anyway, Elliot, you said last night on Sportsnet, someone tweeted me and told me this because we didn't watch, as we already made that clear. 30 scouts in the building looking at just Risto, or kind of everything, or just Risto?
Well, the one thing is that, first of all, there were only 3 games last night. So, you know, I think that's one of those nights where, because there's only 3 games, they're going to go somewhere. Like, someone told me there were about 20 guys in the building last night in Philly for their game against New Jersey, too. I'm sure they were watching, you know, more than just Risto, but there's no question, as you guys know, he's one of the spotlight players at the beginning of the year. Everybody knows what the situation is, and we know that eventually you're going to have Montour back and Bogosian back, too. So I think any time you get a light night where Buffalo's playing and people can watch them, they're going to go see them.
So we've sat here for quite a while now, and we've talked about only one team wanting Risto, and that's the Winnipeg Jets, because of the situation that they're in. Are there any other teams out there right now that are looking for defensemen like Risto?
Anaheim would be. Anaheim would be for sure, because they're looking for right-handed shot guys. They almost had a deal with Falk, but they couldn't work out an extension. So that's the reason that one fell apart. So I think Anaheim would be another team that could potentially be in that conversation. And, you know, they've got a guy who watches you guys a lot. So that would be another team. I mean, people are always looking for right shot D, right? And he signed for a little bit of time. I think there would be a lot of people looking at him.
Who in Anaheim could be on their way out? I mean, has a name been tossed out there? Because I'm wondering about a guy like Jakob Silverberg.
I doubt it would be Silverberg. Like, they just signed him to an extension. But when they were trying to work out a deal with Carolina, Bob Murray wasn't happy about it, but Casa's name got out, and he was the guy who was going to Carolina for Falk in that deal. So, at the very least, you have to realize that his name has been out there, and if Falk had agreed to a contract, he was the guy who was going to Carolina.
All right, we'll just take Rickard Rakell right now, that move on.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a deal that Anaheim would have no problem with.
Are they not? They're not happy with him?
No, it's quite the opposite. They really like him.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, well, yeah. I didn't know.
That's what I was picking up on that.
Well, I was going to say, he's got one goal in three games. I don't know, maybe they expect him to have six. I'm looking at their stats right now. I don't know. I mean, I'm not picking up the sarcasm today, all right? We're a little off over here. You are especially off. The instigators, are on WGR 550 only today. We are joined on the line with Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman, 31 Thoughts Elliot Friedman, and Brian Gionta is in the studio as well. So let's just circle back here. Another somebody else on Twitter. A lot of rats on Twitter, right? A lot of tattletales, we call them. But he pointed out, he said that, teams that you feel may disappoint. You guys had a conversation about this. You feel like the Sabres could be that team for you, Elliot? Or does last night maybe change that tune a little bit with how they're playing?
Well, I have to tell you, in a week, they have certainly done a lot to change my opinion. I was worried about it at the beginning of the year. I'm not going to deny it. But look, first of all, you guys play really fast. You know, you overwhelmed Pittsburgh. You overwhelmed New Jersey. You ran into trouble in Columbus. And at times last night, you overwhelmed Montreal. And Montreal's a team that now likes to play pretty fast, too. You have to like all you guys can do is beat who's on your schedule, right? And the way you guys have started the year, it looks really good. You're playing really fast. Your team looks committed. I mean, you can't take penalties against you guys. That power play with Eichel on one side and Olsen on the other, it looks absolutely lethal. What's not to like? I think, I did get a chance to talk to, a bit in Columbus about what they saw the other night when they outshot you and won the game. And they said that you guys like to take the puck through the neutral zone, and if you can be forced into turnovers, that's where you guys are going to get into trouble. But it didn't seem to be as – on the first goal last night, the one by Armia, you guys walked into a turnover, and it ended up in your net. But generally, if you can avoid that, as most teams would, I think you guys are going to be just fine.
I think I'll tell you what, one surprising – player for this team, and I don't want to say surprising because I think we had high expectations on him, and I know we've seen a lot of him over the years. Marcus Johansson has been spectacular in all factors.
He's a really talented guy. I think one of the smartest teams in the league is Boston. I think they evaluate people really well. I think they make smart decisions, and they play a really intelligent, smart game. And I think when a team like Boston goes out and says, we're going to bring this guy here for the stretch run, it probably says a lot of good things about you as a player. And, I agree with that. I'm not sure he's necessarily a great face-off guy yet, but he plays a really smart game. He's a really talented guy. And I agree with you. I think the funniest thing last night was Gary Galley was calling the game, and I think Gary Galley is a great broadcaster, is a really smart look at the game. And he's sitting there in overtime, and he's like, I don't know, I think they should put Olsen out here. And a second later, Johansson scores the winner. He's like, well, the Sabres are lucky I'm not coaching them. But I really like Johansson as a player, too. I think he's a really talented guy.
Elliot Friedman joining us here on the Instigators. We're on WGR 550 only today and tomorrow. Back on TV on Tuesday. Let's take a look around the league. I thought something great happened the other night between Calgary and LA. You get two star players. Comments before the game, whether they're good comments or bad comments, whatever, doesn't matter. I love the rivalry and the heat in that game. The fire between Doughty and Tkachuk. I feel like we need more of this. What are your eyes seeing in that?
I completely agree with you, Andrew. I thought it was great. Do you think a single person said, I'm going to stay away from that game because these two guys are sniping at each other? I would bet there were more people who, if they have the package, they watch that game because they want to see it. And the thing is, both of those guys delivered.
Yeah.
Tkachuk had a great game. He scored the tying goal, a beautiful goal. And then Dalia scored the overtime winner and gave the hand to the ear as he was skating off the ice and they were all booing him. The best part about it was in the post game, Dalia's like, after doing all that, he's like, I want the feud to end. And they go to Tkachuk and said, yeah, we'll see him in 2 weeks in L.A. Like, Tkachuk was having absolutely none of that. I agree. Like, I don't know if you guys saw this last night, but you have to go back and check out the Philadelphia Flyers Twitter feed as that game was going on with New Jersey. Like, the Devils didn't touch the puck in the second period. After Hart made that one great save, the Flyers really started going and they buried them. And their Twitter feed was clobbering the Devils. Like, I have never seen anything like that before in the OHL, in the NHL. Their Twitter feed was destroying the Devils. And I'm looking at this and going, we are headed into a new world here. And, you know, there's going to be people who don't like it, but the NHL needs this to happen. Personality sells.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is the only area that I find... I love it, too. Listen, I love the trash talk. I think Vegas set the tone with this, by the way, when they first came.
And then they dialed it back. They went too far, people felt, and they dialed it back.
Did you see what they did with Kane when they put Kane, when they said the missing picture?
Oh, yeah, that was something else.
But
whoever's doing their all their stuff there, and it's hilarious.
But that, my point is this, okay? I'm watching you on Twitter. I'm looking at what you're saying, the laughing when the New Jersey player fell, and then Philly grabs the puck and scores. I know you say the league needs more of this, but aren't we worried because now people that aren't necessarily involved directly with the team are now putting the players in a position to have to go out and answer for the back and forth amongst people that aren't even directly involved in the game?
I understand what you're saying, Andrew, and I do. Like, that's not me. Like, I'm never going to do that. But you know what, Andrew, the fact is, like, we're in the minority now. Like, these next generations, like, I'm a person, I'm never going to put my whole life on Twitter or Instagram. Like, my Twitter is my business stuff, and my Instagram, I do a bit more personal stuff. Like, I'll send out, like, some pictures of my family and stuff, but I'm never putting my kids or my wife's face on Twitter or Instagram. I'm just like that. Like, people don't need to know my whole life, but the younger generations, everything is out there and they want that. Why is the NBA such a popular league? Because all of their dirty laundry gets aired publicly and they go after each other publicly. It's not for me, but that's what people want. And, you know, whether you like it or not, unfortunately, that's where we're going. And you can't want to grow the game. That's where we're going.
Yeah, I saw an interesting quote yesterday by the gentleman who runs Sport Track, I think it is. And he just said, sports, they're business. They're not a game. I mean,
Hey, look at this NBA China story. It's a business.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Yeah. No. Hey, Elliot, you're a business. You're not a businessman. You are a businessman. With that being said, Elliot Friedman, every Thursday right here at 11 o'clock. Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
What possibly could I do to add to this already great segment?
It's been fantastic, Elliot. Let's just call it what it is. This has been absolutely spectacular. Our best so far.
Real quick, what about...
Oh, Gio's here.
What about the injury to Galchenyuk and already there with the injuries in Pitt? Like, what's the impact do you see of that news today coming out?
I think they are trying, Brian, to do something. I really think they are. I mean, their mentality is always, as long as we have Crosby and Malkin in their primes, even though the latter one's hurt, they're going for it. So I think I'm beginning to wonder if they should say, maybe we have to alter this philosophy a bit, but I'm not running the team. I definitely think they're out there trying to find forwards and try to make some moves and save this season for them. But because I think they look at it like we're in it every year to win it.
speaking of winning it, you look like you were winning it and in one in your profile picture on Twitter.
So my wife dared me to make that picture my Twitter thing.
What was go ahead.
I'm like the kind of idiot, if someone dares me to do something, even though it's stupid, I would probably do it. I was at a rib fest. And
what's in the mug?
It's a Moscow Mule. Is it not?
It's a Moscow Mule. Yes, it is.
That is a guy that has at least 12 cold cleansing in him and no meat in the belly to suck it up.
It was, like I said, it was a fun day. And the thing is, like, I really wanted that goblet thing. And they were selling them for like $20. And I said, just give me the goblet. And they're like, we're not selling it to you without the drink. And then they just kept refilling it, and it seemed like a good idea at the time, and it was pretty fun. But you know what? Hey, we only live once. You got to enjoy it.
So,
right?
So was it actually? Did you have any ribs, or was it just a booze fest?
No, it was both. Believe me, it was a ribs and booze fest. It was a good day.
All right. Well, hey, good to know you got that in you, Elliot.
You know, Andrew, I come across as pretty serious in my job, as my guys who've known me for a long time have always said to me, if these people knew how much of an idiot you really were, they wouldn't believe it.
Well, you keep it pretty well. You hide it. Eh? You don't put it on social media. Hey, thanks for your time today, Elliot. Elliot Friedman, for everyone listening every Thursday at 11 o'clock. Awesome as usual. 31 thoughts. He's at Fried GEHNIC on Twitter. Go check him out. Talk to you next week, Elliot. All right, I think he hung up. That's fine. We'll be right back. Hour number two, the Instigators underway. We'll recap Elliot Friedman's thoughts, and we'll look forward to the day tomorrow and the conversation that Jeff Merrick had with Ralph Krueger, just about basically saying that was as much my fault as it was Jack's, and how that does go over in the locker room, because the two gentlemen that I'm in the room with played a lot of games in this league, played for a lot of coaches, and I'm sure they would have heard coaches address that differently. We'll talk to Craig Revay and Brian Gianta about that when we return right here, WGR 550, the Instigators.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
REO Speedwagon. Why REO Speedwagon? Because I heard it from a friend who said that bye-bye J. Crew line last year and hello REO Speedwagon for Reinhard Eichel Olafson. Riv's not impressed over there. You don't care about stuff like that. Eh? You're all business. You just want to talk nuts and bolts, nothing else. Let's stick right to the facts. We have 2 hours to fill. Let's talk stats, analytics, height, weight, where they're from. Well, he's a 6'2", 205-pound centerman. Well, he's not. He's 6'3". How much does Jack weigh right now? Is he 215, 220?
Oh, I would think that he has to be 215.
Does he look different this year than last year?
Size-wise?
Anything wise. Like when I look at Austin Matthews this year, for some reason,
he's very thick.
He seems like a beast. And my brother made that comment. We were watching a game at Jack Astor's in St. Catharines and the Leafs were on. And he's like, Austin Matthews looks enormous, like taller, bigger. And then you know, you look at Jack and I feel like he's huge too. Like you see, you know who Jack reminds me of? I almost tweeted this out last night, but sometimes I've been told just keep some of your thoughts to yourself. So I'll save it for the air. Raw reaction sometimes is better from friends than others. But I was going to tweet, Jack reminds me of somebody. Who does he remind me of? We all played against him. He's a legend.
He's still playing or not?
Matt Sundin. He reminds me of Matt Sundin. I went back and because as I'm thinking about Jack, when he rushed that puck and took that shot from the slot last night,
yep.
I'm thinking who got nice and low like that, he used to wind up behind the net and he would fly down the wing. He could pass, he could shoot, he could skate. He was huge.
Yeah.
It was Matt Sundin. And I went and watched some highlights of Sundin last night and I'm like, Matt Sundin had 100 points in this league. Matt Sundin does the same. He was ridiculously skilled.
Matt Sundin in this game today, with how open it is and it's just more about speed and skills, he would be
dominant.
So dominant.
Okay, so tell me why I could be wrong on that. I mean, the way he possesses the puck, carries the puck, I don't know. I don't know what made me think about that. I think it was just that goal when you just saw him get nice and low.
You know
what
I'm having a hard time with? Jack's kind of like got a skating stride and style that's hard to clone.
It's all his own. Like you right? can't. It's hard to pin someone else that he is like because of that.
His explosiveness. I'm not talking about his skating. I'm not saying he looks like Matt's Sundin's. I don't want to call him Matt's, but looks like him skating. I'm saying just. Flying down the ice, nice and low. But you're right about his skating stride. Does it seem like he's on his heels?
I don't even know how to describe it. It's. I mean, if you're going to teach a kid how to skate, I don't think you're going to sit there and go, you need to look like this player. Jack has a very, very interesting skating style, and he's extremely powerful. His first couple steps are very explosive. Once he gets going, he seems like even when he stops skating, that he's picking up speed because of his glide. It's really remarkable. But he is not like you wouldn't show clips on him to kids to say this is the way you need to skate because it's actually kind of it's different. He's very straight up. He's never kind of like bent over in that more powerful stride. He skates straight up and whatever he's doing, he's doing it right. But he's certainly a very big man. I mean, he's got to be, they have him down as 6'2", 203 pounds. I would have to say that he is bigger than 203 pounds. Right now they have Austin Matthews, I looked him up, at 6'3", 220. And that's a big, big man in this league. That's even at 6'3", 220, and he might even be heavier than that now that he's a little bit older.
That's a big body. And he doesn't...
And he can move.
Yeah, that's what... Like, it doesn't look like it.
It doesn't look like it.
So smooth. Can I side note this Sundin thing?
You can... Gio, you are... Listen, you're the main event here, man.
He once called me a hockey jockey, and I still haven't gotten over it. Hockey jockey. I found out through Joe Neuendijk, who was playing with him in Toronto at the time, and it was after Nui was in Jersey with us, and something happened on the ice, and we come in, and he, after the game, he's like, do you know what, Sundin? He got so pissed at you on the ice. He came in the locker room and just started calling you a hockey jockey all through the intermission, and then he came out with it during the game, and I was just like, how do you respond to that? I can't. And that's what it is. I'm the forever in Toronto, the hockey jockey.
That's amazing.
Hey, Matt Sundin was talking about me, so that's a good day.
Absolutely.
A legend. I love the way he played.
What year were you in the league at that point?
Probably 7 years in.
It wasn't my first year.
Wait.
Had you put up 48 yet?
Yeah, for sure, because oh, man.
No respect. Anyway, listen, I didn't want to sidetrack and derail everybody by saying Jack Eichel is Matt Sundin. I'm just saying I thought that rush looked awesome last night. It reminded me of a big, powerful guy flying down the wing. And, you know, Mario was a big, powerful right-handed guy, but he didn't fly down the wing. He kind of just floated.
Mario wasn't a good skater at all. I mean, he was a big man, 6'5". He was well over 230 pounds. He did not move down the ice with the speed of most players, but I mean, he was very efficient in the way that he played. What gave Mario more time and space is his ability to move the puck. He was the best in the sense that if he sucks somebody to him, then someone's going on a breakaway or someone's going to be in a position to score a goal. And that's why it's, you know, you want to pressure good players, but you also want to make sure that you're not out of position. So there was a lot of thinking going on when you had to play against Mario Lemieux, because he had kind of like deceiving speed too. Anyway, I watched him a lot. I didn't get to play against him. Not very much anyway, but watched him score 4 goals against us. I think I told you that. 4 goals, and two of them were behind the net. He was banking the pucks in off Jocelyn Thibault. Might want to pick up on that, Jocelyn, on the first one. But anyway, all right.
Fool me once.
Moving on. Best seats in the house.
Hey, had that best seat many nights, and there were players. Matt Sundin was one of them. I think that's probably why. You know, it's funny. It never even dawned on me to watch other players other than our team, like players on other team while I was sitting on the bench. And I remember because in the American League, the best players were in the NHL. So, I mean, you know, you're watching your guys and you're – but in the NHL, I remember Adam Mayer turned to me in Montreal. You would have been in Montreal. It was my first year in the league. It was 03-04. And, we get settled in, you know, start of the game. We're sitting on the bench. And Kovalev starting the game. And he said, Kovalev is my favorite player to watch. I'll never forget Mayer as he said this to me. And I said, well, why? Well, why do you say that? Why, you know? And he went through just the way he dressed and skated and handled the puck and everything, and his hair, his helmet, his jersey. The guy looked incredible. And I remember I would watch when we played Toronto. Matt Sundin was on the ice. He's the guy Hockey Night in Canada. That's who you watched growing up. You know, when you were younger, young teenager in the early 90s. And that's why, you know, I hate comparables, but I just thought when Jack whipped around last night and flew down the ice and burned the one guy with a little juke and a jive, as Lindy Ruff we call it, and then went right down, just snapped one from the, you know, between the top of the circles.
I remember I garnered the shutting down Matt Sundin one night, and I can't remember who my partner was. I think it was Eric Weinrich at the time. And I was under Matt Sundin's skin like you wouldn't believe. After every pass he made, I finished my check, and it could have been like, you know, the the old like 8-second count where you're not supposed to get hit. But I was really trying to frustrate him. I was dirty after every whistle. I was, you know, all over him. And at one time, I went and cranked him like really good. It was awesome. Right by their bench, and I could hear their coach yell, "Ty, get out there." So he jumped over the boards. And
Ty, who was the coach at the time, Quinn or Burns? Or
it must have been Quinn.
It would have been I don't know, to be honest with you. I can't say. But I remember Ty jumping the boards, and the play was going on, and Ty came right after me, and I was like, oh, man. Like, I was going to fight. For 100%, I was going to fight, but I was like, this is not one that I want to do in Montreal, you know? Like, I'm going to get beat up in front of 20,000
people. You want to get put to sleep in the Bell Center.
And let me tell you something. What happened next?
One of my boys,
thank God for him, jumped in for me, because he identified right away that this was going to happen. And what player was that? Do you remember who it was?
Well, you don't even know what year this is. So, I mean, it could be.
This would have been early. This would have been early. I'd say early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Sheldon Surrey.
No.
Okay.
Left winger. Tough Brash? As nails.
Brash?
No.
He
was an actual player.
Shane Corson.
Shane
fought
Corson.
Him. Fought him. Strongest guy I think I've ever fought in my life.
I couldn't believe when he jumped in there. And you know what? After that fight, he came into the room after and he said, "You just keep doing what you're doing. I got your back." And right there, I had goosebumps in the dressing room. I'm just sitting there. I would have fought Ty Domi, and I would have taken my beating. And I would have gone back and done the same thing the next shift to Matt Sundin. But I'll tell you right now, for a young guy to sit there and have
a player like Shane Corson come up to me and say, "You just keep doing what you're doing. I got your back." I'll tell you, it was one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
Our last segment here, I will go back to the initial question I was going to ask him a few minutes ago, and that is, how does Ralph Kruger's comment about as much as his responsibility it was Jack's about the Columbus game resonate with not just the captain himself and the star player, but other guys on the team? We'll hear Craig, 923 games. Gio's got over 1,000. We'll hear from Old Man River and the Hockey Jockey when we return right here on the Instigators on WGR 550.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, well, Ralph Kruger, it's as much my fault as it is Jack's. Didn't give him enough time to get ready for the next shift. That was overtime. That was his comment. Elliot Friedman told us that Jeff Merrick asked him from Sportsnet before the game last night, and that was the end of the Columbus game that they were talking about in overtime. Riv, how does a comment like that go over and Gio chime in too? We only have a few minutes here, but would love to hear from you guys.
Goes over real well.
Because if I made a mistake, it was...
Goes over real well.
It's a bad play.
You know what? Listen, I mean, there's many coaches out there that talk about we, us, we're all together. And then all of a sudden, when something goes wrong, they're sitting there throwing guys underneath the bus to the media. And, you know... You've had coaches like that, but you've also had the coaches that say, listen, I mean, we're all going to make mistakes. We're in this together. Jack made a mistake, but you know what? He's going to own it, but I'm also going to own my mistake too. I'm just as, you know, that's when you know you have a team. That's when you know you have players and coaches are collectively on the same page, and it means a lot moving forward. Here's the thing. It's great when things are going well. Everybody's having a great job. It's when things aren't going well. That's when you're going to see this solidarity between the players, the leadership group, and the coaching staff. And I feel really good about what I've seen so far from Ralph Kruger and his message and the way the guys are interpreting it and taking it. I really like it.
I couldn't agree more. I thought it was awesome. And that's what you want, especially this early on, is building that trust between the coaching staff and the players. And I guarantee there was discussion behind the scenes that, yes, Jack had made a mistake. But up front and facing it, to take credit or take blame for a mistake, it's only going to bond those two groups together, that they're in it together and that they're a part of it together and they're trying to find solutions together. Hey, he owned it. I think in that locker room, there couldn't be a better thing that could have happened for him to take that blame. And there'll be a time down the road where he can criticize. But I think right now, this was the perfect timing for what he did.
You know, the one thing too is Jack knows that he made a mistake. I mean, he owned it. He owned it after the game. He even owned it after this last game.
He owned it in his
game.
Play last yeah. night.
You know what? I mean,
how about that? You give the guy credit in his play, how you bounce back from something like that. He came out and he dominated.
Yeah, but you know what?
Last night.
Jack even last night said, you know, listen, there's some things that need to be cleaned up. I need to be a little better in certain areas. And you know what? That's awesome to hear from a young guy.
We got to get out of here. Could keep going for another few hours. Gio, thank you for today.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I love it.
I need to ask you this. Tomorrow's a game day.
Game day.
What are you doing 10 to noon? You have yoga? You got anything going on? Kids
tomorrow,
are in school? Do you want to come in?
I have golf tomorrow.
Golf tomorrow.
I'm sorry. I just set those plans up too.
Okay. All right.
I'd bail.
And a loyal man wouldn't bail
true
out of
teammate, that's it. Yeah, cancel that, right, Petey?
What's that?
True teammate would have canceled that.
Am I being like looked at as part of the team and what? Just not an outsider coming in?
Well, we're trying to bring you into the circle of trust, and right now
we
got here a little late today.
You've been here for a few tryouts.
I didn't know that it was going to be a makeshift office in your truck.
And what a great office it was.
Show up in the truck.
It was a great office.
It was a great office. A good powwow. That's a good day today.
I'll take the criticism. I'll be better.
You want to cancel on golf tomorrow? What time's your tee off?
Right in that middle time. Right at 11 o'clock.
It's unacceptable.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Move it back to 1. Well, we're all good.
Join them on hole number 7. Right? All right. We'll be right back tomorrow. Thank you very much to the hockey jockey, Brian Gionta, for coming in today. He'll live that name down forever. We're late. Thank you. Instigators, tomorrow, WGR 550, only back on TV on Tuesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.